And my name's Stan.
I'm Anne.
Nice to meet you.
So you took up photography when?
I've always loved photography, but I turned it into earning a living.
That's
at
right,
60.
Yeah.
I enrolled on a day course.
Well, college?
Loved going to college.
It's good you can retrain and do something.
Yeah.
Let's talk about working, learning, saving, and making the most of living longer. Phoenix Group is the UK's largest long-term savings and retirement business. Search Phoenix Group Living Longer.
This is a Global Player original podcast.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio
X. Welcome to the 4 till 7 thing podcast. Dr. St. Temple, see you right, Doctor.
Hello.
Is there a doctor in the house? There certainly is. Is there a woodman in the house?
Afternoon.
Afternoon, Gav, how are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Pretty good.
Is there a Harry in the house?
Oh, he is.
Oh, he fell over. That's Harry, because surnames fell.
Yeah.
Unless I'd said that, that bit of wordplay, kind of lost on them.
Sure.
little size there.
He is.
You right, Simon?
Hello.
You had a nice week off.
Lovely.
Hey, we never got into that hose chat.
Oh, yes.
Sorry, little Simon was away. He had a long weekend. Mm. And I said massive long weekend for the Thang Gang. Little Si was looking at hoses. What hose? What did you discover?
Well,
This wasn't on the show today.
This is exclusive
podcast. Podcast.
Wow.
Content.
Wow.
Well, there's a baffling array of garden hoses, it turns out. And, are you going to go with a hose lock system? Are you going to go with a Gardena?
Mm. What's best?
Well,
I presume the one we haven't heard of is more expensive.
Yes, it is. It's more of a premium product that
right
one.
What is it, the connecting system that makes it better, or is it
compatible
materials?
With the hose locks?
It's not compatible.
It's
I don't
incompatible.
Think
so.
That's,
wow.
That's the thing.
Isn't it amazing that even in the world of hoses, human beings have to create incompatibility?
They have to,
systems.
Yeah.
They have to do it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. The profit motive.
But there's a lot to it. I mean, the anti-kink technology, how many layers the hose has got.
Hey, what? Well, so because hose lock hoses are thin enough so you get kinking. But you're saying the gardenia is the hose is of such a thick quality that will not happen.
Well, that is fascinating.
Exactly.
No, I'm genuinely interested. Who knew that hosiery was kink related?
It's a very different thing. Very different. Okay. If you're looking at, don't start looking up.
I was going to Google.
Don't look
kink,
up
kinking hosiery.
Kinking hosiery. Don't.
Yeah,
you're going to get some
shame.
Well, do look it up, but make sure you invite me over.
Right. Okay. Sure.
And I'll come down the shed.
And don't use a work computer. Is that your advice?
No. Definitely not for that.
Yeah.
So, what are you? Yeah. What system are you going to go with?
I think I'm going. I think I will go with the hose lock. I'm going to go with the hose lock Trico Flex Ultra Max.
Yeah,
good value for money.
Top of the range of all the hose lock systems,
Right.
What are you going for? The wall mounted reel.
I haven't thought about that. That's another thing. You see, do you go with wall mounted?
Yeah.
Do you go with handheld?
Okay,
there's a lot of things to think about.
Can I just say that the main thing is from that wall mount, can you then, when you unravel, can you reach every corner of the garden?
Yeah.
If yes, get.
Yeah. Yeah.
If not, you're going to be restoring the hose back into the shed as and when needed.
But it's also really annoying. Moving hose, they're heavy.
They're so annoying.
Just have them on the house. And what's really nice is when you've got that hose stored on a nice sunny day and you get the hose out and you're filling up like a paddling pool and that water's already warm.
Sure.
It's been warmed in the hose.
Yeah, of
course. Though it's technically now stagnant, old, warm water.
Yes, keep an eye out for Legionnaire's disease with that situation.
Oh, no, it's going to be full of Legionella.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about that.
Yeah.
Lovely name for a girl.
Great name, isn't
nice
it?
Name,
or Lucifer for a boy.
Yes, these are my children, Legionella and Lucifer is the boy. This week on the podcast, I receive a celebratory package from Cornwall. We discuss if there's an acceptable kind of drifter to take in and the woodman has a tightrope walking Yorkie growling away into his remote little slot. There's a tightrope walking Yorkie growling in his slot. There's a tightrope walking Yorkie growling in his slot. That's right, a tightrope walking Yorkie growling in the woodman's heroic little slot. Enjoy the podcast.
Radio X.
Hey, Gav.
Yeah.
I found out what the dullest chat is, just having had lunch with some people.
The dullest chat?
Yeah, because the subject turns to snoring.
Right, yeah.
And which is, that's all right as a conversation, but then
it can
snoring
be,
and sleep.
Yeah.
Then we got down to how it's down to sleeping position. And just for a second round the table at lunch with my accountant and a few others. We discussed sleeping positions.
Right.
And I realised there's nothing because there's five of us around the table, because a few other people had to go for lunch and needed for the signing things, just documents and things.
Yeah.
We had a couple of chaps there with the attaché.
What, just business papers?
Just business papers and attaché. A couple of chaps were there with the attaché cases.
Okay.
It's just over there in my attaché case.
The paperwork, yes.
Graham, if you just reach into my attaché case. Sorry, Colin, I've got all the jam.
Well, I've got the file here.
Well, I can tell you exactly how much you paid, John. Graham, could you pass my attaché case? Anyway, incidentally, if ever you do see a briefcase and or attaché case or anything with a combination lock, just putting it out there, might be 007.
Could be.
Yeah. Always worth a punt.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Always.
I don't think, because also the sort of guy that has a briefcase.
Well, still now, especially, and not a device.
Right, the sort of guy that has a briefcase is also very much the sort of guy who's a Bond fantasist.
No question.
And that one place their Bond dreams still live.
Sure.
Is in the combination of a briefcase.
In fact, if he's got the briefcase with the combination and he's wearing an Omega Seamaster from a certain era, then that's a James Bond wannabe.
I'd say just a briefcase. Yeah. Pretty much. Anyway, so the subject got to sleep positions.
Yeah.
And I realised that this is one of those conversations you have with people. And it's the way when people tell you how they sleep, they're expecting a reaction.
It's your high jump record from university.
The one people I was with, it was looking like we're all going to say, wow, how'd you do that? Like it was a skill. I'm thinking, he goes, what I do, I go on my side and prop my head up with the pillows, so my shoulders exactly.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, one, never works. Two, wow.
But isn't that what everyone sort of tries to do anyway? Right. Yeah.
Well, when you get a gut,
Yeah. I mean, as far as I can tell, it's on your stomach, on your back, or on your side. There's only three positions.
I always lie whenever the discussion comes up.
Oh, do you? I sleep sitting up.
No, I always say...
I stand up straight.
I guess I've always sleep on my back with... I suppose my arms behind my head, like my hands behind my head like that, and my cap just tilted
just
forward.
Tilted forward, or a cowboy hat.
A cap over my eyes, like a trucker cap, just keeping the light out in case I wake up.
Your arms behind your head.
I had a friend of mine, and when his cleaner used to come round, if it was early, he used to make sure if anyone was going to catch him sleeping, he'd wake up a bit earlier and get in that position.
As if that's how he was sleeping.
That's how he slept, because it was really manly. Amazing. Actually, having a sleep pose. 83936, if you know anyone who's ever had a sleep pose. Yeah, what about you? I mean, I don't want to continue the
conversation. I just lie on my side, John. I didn't realise it was any more glamorous than that.
Right, 83936. Come on, really impress me with your sleep position. No, make it up. Because I've never heard one that's amazing.
I do have a knee pillow.
Again, you look at me. No, but see how he's looking at us like, is that amazing?
It's not amazing at all.
Look at me.
It's not amazing. It's boring. But it is true. I do have a knee pillow.
You do look to me slightly like, Anna, because like I'm going to find you more attractive because you're quite sensitive.
No.
I always sleep. And then I sleep.
That certainly wasn't my intention.
I always sleep with my little teddy just there that I've had since I was a kid. My little teddy just.
Yeah, I know.
Cruel. Yeah, mate. Who are you? Anyway, things people do to make themselves seem a bit sweeter.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going, what are you? I got my little teddy just curled up. Not teddy. Anyway, a couple of guys in my gym do that.
Sure.
83936. Come on, surprise me with something really like an amazing sleep. Go on, sleep upside down like a bat.
Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X.
You have got some weird things you've impressed me with here. I said the most dull discussion you could ever possibly have is people genuinely telling you their sleeping position. I don't think any of these are genuine. You've really raised the raised the bar. First in, Suns.
This has come from Joe in Diss, who says, isn't it normal to sleep doing the Bruce Forsyth pose?
Well, interesting. Now, if you're a goth, now he's 6 foot under.
Yeah. Sure.
In a coffin. I know you used to sleep like that when you...
Yeah, I did go through a teenage phase of sleeping with my arms crossed on my chest like I was in a coffin.
That's how Bruce is tucked up every night. Now.
Yeah.
So think about that.
It's Bruce and Vlad.
No, I'm just saying, everyone, before you start raining the Bruce Forsyth jokes, let's remember where Bruce is. He's 6 feet, hence.
Mm.
So let's move on.
Mark in Woolhampton likes to sleep with his eyes open so that the cat knows who's in charge.
Nice. That's really good. I really like that. My other half says I sleep like the victim of Amityville because I sleep face down, arrow straight, arms tight in against my side, wow, and face directly into the mattress, says Andy in Stockport.
Wow.
This is an absolute beauty. You ready for this?
Go on, yeah.
I sleep on all fours with my wife in the gap between my hands and knees, creating a protective cover. Like a hardened aircraft shelter. That's Mike involved. That's very interesting, Mike. We've never heard anything like that. No. You've managed to make the subject.
That's amazing.
Interesting. Yeah. Thank you very much indeed, Mike. Normally it isn't. What have you seen, Sunita, to make the subject of sleeping positions interesting?
No name on this, but it says knee pillow, one arm bent under my head,
yeah,
knees bent, yeah, basically folded like origami.
Interesting.
Nice, nice. That's interesting. Very interesting. That's interesting. What have you seen there, Gav, to make sleep positions interesting?
Manly Dave says, I like...
Manly Dave can say whatever he likes.
Manly Dave says, I like to sleep in a satin camisole.
Yeah.
That way, if there's ever an intruder, they'll be so shocked when they see me, I'll have the upper hand.
Yes, that's fantastic.
That and I'll be all slippery.
Yes, but the idea of actually just as a large, powerful
in
male answering the door in a negligee,
yeah,
that's gonna
no
stretch.
Burglar can.
Yeah, but also looking like you want to know, that's gonna frighten anyone.
Definitely, yeah.
Seriously, men in nineties,
right, the last thing.
Blokes in nineties, yeah, in sexy nineties,
terrifying.
Who look like they want to know?
Yeah,
poor,
terrifying. Yeah,
terrifying. I think you've changed everyone's burglar strategy. Burglar readiness,
yeah,
home intruder readiness.
Stand by your camisoles, men.
Camisoles,
camisoles on.
Deploy booties. Right, another good one. A good friend of mine, Charlie, insisted on taking a burger home after the pub.
Yeah.
He woke up in the morning with the first bite of burger in his mouth. That's not a sleep position. He doesn't sleep with burger.
No, it isn't. No,
he doesn't do that every night.
A real high-risk death strategy.
Sure.
You know, you'll wake up in the Gothic pose.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's now not the Bruce Forsyth pose. Hey, TJ Woodman and Bobby Sue.
Yeah.
TJ and the Woodman with Bobby Sue. I often used to fall asleep sitting upright with my arms outstretched, holding a steering wheel, much to the horror of the other people on the minibus. Thank God for the rumble strips between the hard shoulder and lane one of the motorway, says Marco. Thank you so... Again, making sleep interesting.
Yeah.
I sleep leaning on the kitchen counter like I'm propped up against a bar, said Phil in North Wales. Hi, John. I sometimes set up pillows both sides of the bed and cradle the middle like a wall of comfort, says David Croydon. I really liked this. I'm a 41-year-old cowboy. I sleep with one finger on the trigger every night. I sleep on my back with my right arm across the right side of my face, which provides an interesting crease on the right side of about my face into about 10 a.m. the next day. Nice. I like that idea of sleeping to get a more interesting sort of crease in your face that could look like a scar.
Yeah.
What have you got there, Gav?
No name on this. It just says, I sleep with a dumbbell strapped to each limb, so if I move in my sleep, I'm working out. You know the drill,
yeah,
TJ.
I like that. What have you got there, Bobby Sue?
Paul in Oxford says, I sleep in the outline of a dead body, police squad style.
That's fantastic.
Lovely.
You should get sheets with one nom.
Yeah.
With the outline of exactly where you sleep. And also on the carpet, something circled.
Yeah, you know, like yeah.
I sleep in the middle of the local dojo, covered by glory, says Andy Wrexham. Thank you, Andy. Absolutely beautiful work. What have you got there? Dr. S.
No name on this. It just says, I sleep at work at the bottom of a ladder, so if I get caught, they think I fell.
Nice. Hey, that's genius.
That is genius.
No, wait a second. That's
next
is
level.
Genius.
Yeah.
It's now time to thank our partner for this episode, NHS Talking Therapies. For anyone struggling to cope with feelings of depression, excessive worry, social anxiety, post-traumatic stress or obsessions and compulsions, seeking help through NHS Talking Therapies can be one of the best steps a person can take to overcome their mental health issues and get back on track. NHS Talking Therapies, delivered by trained clinicians, are a free, effective and confidential way to treat common mental health issues. They can be offered in several ways, including online, on the phone or in person. Your GP can refer you for NHS Talking Therapies, or you can refer yourself online, nhs.uk/talk. Thanks again to NHS Talking Therapies for supporting this podcast.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
I was just reading in the paper, Cavaliers charge in the Abrevaro bull run in Le Grau de Roi. It's in southern France. Riders try and outrun cattle while pulling tassels from their horns.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
That sounds really dangerous.
It's dangerous and edgy and no one cares and it's local. Yeah. They have like running the bulls in Pamplona and other Spanish towns, also in southern France. They have all these sort of things. Also in Spain, they have, and Portugal, they have things like where they just fill a square with like tomatoes.
Yeah, oh, they do. Fights with them. Everyone starts stamping on them and laughing.
And then they form a human tower and fall backwards while someone just pours like blood all over them. And like Italian towns, they just suddenly have a horse race round the town.
They do in Italy. Yes, they're mad. Some of those
these mad things.
They sort of punch-ups
and then
between the jockeys
in a fight with a ball.
That's right.
And you just now my point is this: it's Britain. We started all these sports and we gave them to the world.
Yeah.
But we left ourselves nothing local. Yeah, they rode the odd cheese goes down a hill.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go to Las Falas in Valencia a couple of weeks' time, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, I go there. It's the firework festival.
Right.
It used to be where all unsold art was just burnt.
So they could just start again.
Because there's just no point it hanging
no
there.
One wants it.
Yeah, that was a tradition. But now it's a daytime firework thing that goes into the night. So all they're interested in is not how fireworks look. You know why? It's boring.
Yeah.
Volume.
Yeah.
Noise.
Get rid.
It is insane. And it's a proper party. And at night, anyone can just have fireworks, just hurling them around the streets. No one cares a jot
for
health and safety. No one does. You know why? Because for them, fireworks are fun.
Yeah.
Yeah? They're not just available one day a year like in Britain.
No.
No, not for them. You can go and say, hello there, I'd like to buy some fireworks, please, and a bottle of vodka. Thank you.
And they don't bat an eye.
Oh, and have you got any knuckle dusters? Yes, we have, sir. Here's a knuckle duster, there's some fireworks, here's a bottle of vodka.
Enjoy.
Have a great night. And you'll find that no one gets hurt.
No.
In Britain, whoa. Anyway, I'm just saying, what happened? Why can't we have things like that? Why can't we have, like, the night when 500,000 sheep are taken through Leicester?
Yeah, why not?
And there's just a dance among them.
That's
And then you get to, I don't know, where they get all the way to Nottingham to the castle walls and they trebuchet the sheep in. Literally, they
into
just
a
got,
fondue
loading,
the size of a roundabout.
Yeah, they're actually loading sheep into a trebuchet. There was something.
We've got all the old castles.
Right.
We could do these events really easily.
Up.
Yeah,
like Kent, all those strawberries that no one picks anymore because we don't allow anyone in to pick them.
Yeah,
and Nigel Farage, when he was campaigning for 50,000 workers to form a fruit-picking army of students. Do you know how many volunteered?
None.
Three. Three.
That's
they
right,
got
yeah.
three volunteers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how keen we were on it. No, that's a fact.
Yeah. I am. Insane.
So with all those strawberries, just a huge strawberry fight, maybe bring the sheep in.
I think so.
Pink
sure.
sheep. The night of pink sheep.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all got strawberry stuff all over them.
I think, you know how they used to throw hot oil over the battlements?
Yes, onto, brilliant onto idea. The,
well, no, if we've,
oh,
got,
sorry.
If we've got a big honey harvest, for
oh,
example.
Fantastic. Yes.
Just heat it up.
Yeah.
And people have to climb the ladders up
yes.
to it, and they've got to face pouring honey
yes.
all on them.
Or these locals in wherever, they fight bees
yes.
for a night. They
and get, you've got to actually punch them.
They get covered
yeah.
in honey, and
yeah,
it's a
yeah.
bee race,
yeah.
and you've got to beat the bees.
That's right. Yeah.
I think
get
as well,
to, wearing
to
boxing
get to,
gloves.
To get
yeah,
to the
yeah,
walls
yeah.
of Hereford.
That's right.
Before you, a Welshman clubs you. And if you do that, then it means you can...
No, you've got to go underground into Cheddar Gorge.
Yes, yes, something like that, Gav.
Something
but you
really
end up,
dangerous.
Literally, but you end up being daubed in something
oh,
horrendous.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and then midges all over
Marvellous.
You.
Marvellous. Radio X.
Gav, who's your hero today?
Okay, the hero today, Johnny, is a Yorkshire Terrier called Corporal Smokey.
Who's Corporal Smokey?
She was 4 pounds of courage, according to the University
Yorkshire
of Tennessee
Terriers
Veterinary
are really
College.
Larry.
Yeah,
they
lots
are,
of fight in the dog.
Loads of fight. I know a couple of regiment guys.
They're so cute, though.
Look, I know a couple of regiment guys who've got them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a couple of
right?
guys,
yeah, yeah.
Hereford boys, yeah. They,
anyway, Corporal Smokey lived from 1943 to 1957. She was a war dog during World War II. She weighed 4 pounds and stood 7 inches tall. She was found by American soldiers in an abandoned foxhole in New Guinea rainforest in February 1944. They took her back to the base, and she was sold for $2 to a reconnaissance pilot, Corporal Billy Wayne. She wasn't an official war dog with rank and papers, you know, like Sergeant Stubby. Do you remember Sergeant Stubby? Either way, she flew 12 air sea rescue search missions in the South Pacific
with Billy.
She would sit in a backpack hanging next to the machine guns. She was also credited with 12 combat missions and awarded 8 combat stars. She survived 150 air raids and a typhoon at Okinawa. And like other war dog accounts, she would warn Billy when shells were incoming. She saved his life on a transport ship, pulling him away from an exact impact site in one
case. Wait a second. A Yorkshire Terrier weighing 4 pounds has pulled a man away.
No, not physically pulled him, but signalled for him to get away from where they were.
Let's not use words like pull. Let's say signalled away. Otherwise, signaled we've got this image of a little Yorkshire Terrier
dragging
a man.
Billy would teach her tricks. She knew loads of tricks. She could walk a tightrope with a blindfold on. And he would take her round hospitals in Australia and Korea during the war for morale purposes. She is thought, in fact, to be the first ever therapy dog for hospitals.
Can I just say to you, yeah?
Yes.
I like this hero.
Sure.
But some of this is slightly sounding a little bit Bushido.
Just wait.
Her biggest... Harry, are you getting that as well?
Her biggest... No.
Oh, no, don't reluctantly back me up.
Wait a second. The tricks were on TV for 10 years after the war. She got really famous in America.
Maybe.
So she was doing... She knew 42 separate tricks, apparently.
Getting near Bushido.
Her biggest achievement was at Luzon, an air base in the Philippines. The signal corps needed to run a 70-foot cable under a runway at an air base.
No!
Wait a second. And they already had a buried pipe, like a culvert, running under the runway. But it had soil in it from where the joints in the pipe were. And even though it was only 8 inches in diameter, in some areas it was only 4 inches. And this is what Billy did. He said, I tied a string to Smokey's collar, ran to the other end of the culvert. Smokey made a few steps in and then ran back out. And I said, come on, Smokey. I said sharply. She started through again.
Do that again, Gabby. Do that face again.
Come on, Smokey.
I love that, Gabby.
You can do it.
Look, I'm coming, boss. I'm coming.
The string got caught up, but she looked over her shoulder as much to say, what's holding us up here?
What did she say?
She said, what's holding us up here?
Gav, again, did you see that face? It's the way you do the American Yorkshire Terrier.
The string loosened from the snag and she came on again. By now, the dust was rising from the shuffle of her paws as she crawled through the dirt. I couldn't see her. I called and pleaded. At 15 feet away, I saw her little eyes and she broke into a run.
Oh,
she saved 3 days of digging from the engineers because they would have had to dig up the runway. She saved over 250 ground crewmen for 3 days being out there working where they could have been bombed. They went back to America. She became world famous. Oh, sorry, America famous. And it's thought that she...
America
she,
famous.
It was, well, in America,
that's
that is world
famous.
That's
not easy. Yeah.
But it's thought that she is credited with the breed becoming popular again because she was so famous.
She should be a Bushido.
There are memorials to her in Ohio, Hawaii, Tennessee, the Royal Brisbane and Women's Hospital, and the PDSA, which is the Dickin Medal, Dickin. They gave
but she
her
never
an award.
Got a Dickin.
She was on a stamp in the Philippines. That's how good was Corporal Smokey.
Gav, how come she never got a Dickin?
I don't know. Maybe she's a foreign dog.
Yeah, it could be.
Corporal Smokey.
Corporal Smokey. Thing. We see you. Harry was so sorry.
Look how cute that. She is. Here she is in a helmet.
Yeah.
She's so cute.
Nice helmet.
X.
Meet Simon.
Hi there.
Dad of three.
I can easily manage the kids' hectic schedules, but seeing a doctor at a time that suits, nightmare.
Thankfully, Aviva can help. As Simon and his family already have Aviva Health Insurance, they have 24/7 digital access to a GP.
Amazing. Back to karate, ballet, juggling.
Search Aviva Health. Helping solve your health insurance puzzles, it takes Aviva. This service is a non-contractual benefit. Aviva can withdraw or amend at any time. T's and C's apply.
Radio. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Happy St. Piran's Day, people of Cornwall. As you know, not my favourite county. In fact, quite the opposite. But a patron saint's day is a patron saint's day.
Yeah.
And what I do like about the Cornish, do you know what I like?
What?
The anger.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the people I know that go to Cornwall and have settled there.
Sure.
I'm glad they've gone.
Uh-huh.
But also, I'd be annoyed if they settled around me.
Near you,
And then pretended, because they lived there on a longer-term basis, that they were local.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything more annoying than finding my pub full of people who are not Cornish, but singing.
Right.
And acting like this is what Cornish people
do. Yeah,
because
they've got
this
even more annoying,
assumed Emmett culture. So when I talk about Cornwall, they're the enemy.
Right.
And also the Cornish.
They're like a resistance movement, but without a war, aren't they?
I used to quite enjoy it there in the summers. My grandparents had a house in Foy. And that we used to be taken care of by this diminutive Cornishman with leather skin called Bodger, who my grandparents put in charge of us. Mm. And it was miserable.
Right. Because he was miserable.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah, that doesn't sound like fun.
Can we have another day on a small boat feeling ill, watching a small guy smoke? and then waiting outside a pub.
We've had a delivery for you. That's what, Cornish Day.
So we've had a letter in from...
Thank you, Sunter. That was said with feeling.
Ian has written to Sunter and I saying, hi, Sunter and Gav. Tuesday, 5th of March...
Why has he written just to you two?
All will become clear.
Yes.
Tuesday, 5th of March is St. Piran's Day.
Puan.
And St. Piran is the patron saint of Cornwall.
Puan.
As you are aware, old Tough John is not very complimentary about, quote, God country.
So on he means God's county, but he can't... Right.
Yeah. So on the 5th... Oh, maybe I misread it. So on the 5th of March, at the start of the show, can you present TJ with these gifts? Now, there's a list of the gifts, which I'll just tell you what they are.
I wonder who he got to write this.
I don't know. Some kind of man of letters.
Yeah, probably a local teacher at the chapel school.
There is a T-shirt, apparently.
Okay, let's have a look.
For John. So you can...
I'm quite excited.
You like to open a prezi, don't you?
Shall I tell you something? This is... really
this is lovely, yeah.
I feel really embarrassed.
They've unmanned you here somewhat,
they
Johnny.
They really have.
They really... Wow, it's actually quite a nice
lovely
T-shirt.
That's
like the gold.
Nice.
It says Cornwall, one and all.
Yeah. And they've got the size right because you are obviously very muscular and large.
It's made out of heavy cotton.
Right.
This is a 2XL T-shirt.
Wow.
You'll just
squeeze into that, I think.
But rather a nice T-shirt.
Nice.
It's nice,
nice,
yeah.
It's very similar to the font of that pie company, the pasty company.
Yes.
What's next?
There's also a book of history of St. Piran.
Can I just say, if this is going to get like, so I'm going to end up crying because of the guy's generosity, can we stop here? And nothing cool.
I think the next item, since the...
Okay, hang on, wait a second. What's this? This is the story of St. Piran.
Oh,
okay,
lovely.
Johnny, get ready to cry.
The story of St. Piran. This is a... It's like a... Well, it's not a children's book. It's... oh, God, it's written in Cornish.
Oh, my God, you're going to need
it. It's going to take you a while.
It's a bit like Middle French, but written badly.
Sure.
This is where the story gets even more... Oh, no, it's about St. Piran.
Well, there you go.
Do you know something? I love things like that as well.
I know. We'll wait till you see the next item.
Oh, no, this is getting really sort of touching and stuff now.
Right.
Get your hanky ready, John.
Okay, what is it?
This is a Cornish bear for Milton.
Oh.
Gav, you can let me unwrap it.
I have.
You didn't. You told me beforehand.
He's salading it.
I'm just explaining what
so
it
cute.
Is.
It's a really
it's a
sweet
nice
bear.
It's got
a little black velvet sort of sweater with Cornwall on it, and it's got Perrin and the Cornish flag on his foot, and he's fluffy, and it's an eco Puan bear.
Lovely.
So Perrin cute.
Oh, that is really sweet.
There's also a proper job sticker for your car.
Oh, there is a car sticker.
There's a St. Piran card somewhere.
Is there a St. Piran card?
There's a St. Piran card.
Oh, this is lovely. I take it all
so
back,
so many
guys.
Nice
and,
things.
And Ian says, it's time for Tough John to embrace Cornwall.
Well, you know what? This is... I'm touched, actually. This is the most thoughtful.
We'll find another county to pick on, shall we? Or should we just stick with Cornwall?
I don't know what to do, Gav.
Oh, it's tough now, isn't it?
To Tough John, happy St. Piran's Day with love from all of Cornwall.
Oh, my God. Ian, you have unmanned him.
Ian, do you know something? I'm honestly a bit emotional. There's so much thought's gone into that. It's a lovely little display there.
It's a nice bear, isn't it?
It's a really nice bear.
It's a nice bear.
Milton's got a few of those kind
Has
of bits.
He,
yeah, not like, I mean, this is fluffier, but it's... Oh, man. Thank you. Who sent me that?
Ian
of Cornwall.
Yes.
That's it. Of course,
Ian. There is a surname if you want it.
Cornwall.
Ian Lyons. His
Ian
name
Lyons.
Is.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was just Ian of Cornwall.
No.
And everyone in Cornwall will know who that is.
Sure. sure. Ian with two eyes.
Ian with two eyes.
Which
quite
is a
Scottish.
Classic, yeah.
Thank you so much, Ian. That's really touched me. It's a lovely little selection. I shall read all about St. Piran, and I won't call him Puan anymore.
Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X.
So, this is the dinner party chit-chat section. You're going to dinner parties. First up...
Go on.
Charles Dickens. I'm not asking you, I'm not inviting you to have a discussion about Charles Dickens.
Go
who's actually pretty good.
He's not bad.
I mean, tell you what's good, if you haven't waded into reading Dickens, what's really good? Very compelling. Do you know why?
Why?
Because he wrote he wrote like it was episodes of a soap.
Oh, did
so
he?
So at the end of serialized. Every single chapter of Dickens,
yeah.
It's like...
Yes. So he had a cliffhanger.
Yeah,
and,
always. So it really is like, well, with his golden patch of right. writing,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is, they're quite compelling. It was like, when you read one, it's like binging a box set, because they'd have had to wait every week.
Did they serialise them in papers?
Yes, they did. Yeah, yeah. Right, I forget the name of the paper, the London Illustrated News. Right. Can't remember.
Yeah.
No, it's one word. Mm. I'll remember it probably as I go home.
Okay.
Charles Dickens was so fond of drink, he put away a pint of champagne during intermissions in his talk. Do you know how many bottles of champagne he had?
Wow.
At home in his cellar? 500.
Wow. 500? That's a lot of champagne.
It doesn't feel like he'd be a champagne drinker.
Yeah, I know. Big champagne.
And soon a pint glass of it as well.
Yes!
But scholars were surprised to find the author lending his support to a society of teetotal Welshmen after discovering a previously unknown letter. So three things come out of this. Firstly, he had his cellar with 500 bottles of champagne, and while he was reciting his books, used to drink a pint in the interval. Secondly, the origin of teetotal was because one of the founders of the teetotal society. Sorry. Yeah. It was called totalism. Mm. Total abstention from alcohol.
Yeah.
The reason it's actually called teetotals is because the founder of the movement, one of the key speakers, had a very bad stutter.
It's nothing to do with tea.
No.
That's right.
No.
Yeah.
That's why it's T-double-E.
Yes.
Not teetotal. It's nothing to do with tea at all. So when people used to mock him when he was giving speeches because he said total.
Right.
So because of that stutter, teetotalism was something they would mock him
with. Did you say they found some teetotal Welshmen?
Yes, I know. Temperance was a huge thing in Wales.
Was
because
it?
Yes, because they didn't want people underground there.
Oh, yeah.
Hammered.
Yeah.
Other interesting champagne facts. Do you know how many bottles of champagne Winston Churchill had in a lifetime?
I heard it was a lot.
42,000.
It's unbelievable.
Wow. Is the answer. Yeah. 42.
What a headache. Roast lamb for breakfast as well.
42,000. That's according to Paul Roche. Lastly, British drinkers bought 10 million fewer bottles of wine in the run-up to Christmas after the government increased duty on it, leaving a black hole in Treasury finance.
That's a big difference.
The industry is watered. Yet, in a letter to the Chancellor, wine bosses say last August, double-digit increase in tax on most wines and spirits has stifled sales, fueling inflation and reduced revenue. So, 10 million fewer bottles of wine were drunk in the run-up to Christmas. Winston Churchill drank 42,000 bottles of champagne in a lifetime, and Charles Dickens had 500 bottles of champagne in his cellar. Three facts to light up any dinner party table.
X. Come on, the Blues! Wearing white, Einstein. Whoops, Sandy Leak footy, so British. Which reminds me, smart meters could help Britain create a future where we're less reliant on imported gas. All right. They help us manage our energy use, which improves the balance of supply and demand. So we could use more wind and solar energy from Britain.
Help Britain create a future that's less reliant on imported gas. Search Get a Smart Meter today. Eligibility may vary. Consumer action required.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
So I've seen this film the other night. And I've started watching a bit of it. I'm thinking, what the hell is this? What the hell is going? What have I missed?
Right.
So I hit the, you know, you press OK in the middle of the arrow buttons on your Sky controller.
Yeah.
Which you've got to watch.
Why?
Because you're now recording it.
Oh, does it?
Yes. And if it's outside the realms of a one-off, you're now series linked it as well.
Oh, man.
It'll do that as soon as
that's the default, series link.
And also, what's even worse about this is this is part of a big racket here, guys.
Of course it is,
because they're now counting you as a viewer.
Yes, they are. It's a download and a view.
So sometimes you go there and you're thinking, what? I watched that once.
Yeah, I haven't seen 9 episodes.
I rewound it. And now I guess you, because I like to go through my A to Z sorting the recordings to get rid of them because they're on the disc clock.
Yeah.
So I do have these constructive sorting evenings.
Sure.
Which is quite satisfying.
Sure, yeah.
You know, it's late.
Sure.
And and suddenly you find you've got like 97 episodes of CSI. You think, what the hell?
Which you never signed up for.
10 minutes of it.
Yeah, never knowingly
like ages
signed
ago.
Up for.
How did this happen? But the thing is, you're also counted as a viewer from all of those, which is why everyone does quite well out of viewing statistics. It's about 80 times the population of Britain.
Yeah, right. It's
insane.
I mean,
if you look at the viewing figures, it's like China.
Oh, it's mad.
China. It's the mad. Ratings. Yeah. Because they would say that with their ratings. But they're not particularly coming for us.
Failing. Totally failing.
Totally failing with what they're doing. A lot of black support.
And you know, as you know. As you,
anyway, guys, so yeah. I looked at this thing. Because if you press it again, yes, you're recording. But if you press it again, you now get the, you know, little...
The blurb.
Yeah, the blurb.
Right.
So listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Black Butterfly. A reclusive writer living in on the outskirts of a town,
yeah,
haunted by a spate of mysterious abductions and murders.
Yes.
Yeah? So this guy lives on the outside of that town. Right?
And he's a writer and yeah. he's haunted by these abductions.
No, the whole town is haunted by hopefully he is as well because he has a thing called empathy.
Yeah, of
which
course.
Which is essential for writing.
Uh-huh.
But get this. What would you not do? In that in those circumstances.
Go into the woods.
Who would you not take in?
Oh, who would you not take in?
Yes, yeah. Who would you not...
I wouldn't take in a mysterious stranger.
No. One more. Go on. Kev. A mysterious drifter.
Oh,
drifter. Yeah.
So, a reclusive writer living on the outskirts of a town, haunted by a spate of mysterious abductions and murders, takes in a mysterious drifter. Yeah, because you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
right, that seems perfectly harmless. What about all the murders and abductions? Is it kind of a silly time to take in a mysterious drifter?
Yeah, right. I mean, come on.
But, Gav, what drifter would you take? Friendly drifter?
Yeah, right. I mean,
no,
I don't know.
When is a drifter not, you know, when's that fine?
I think if he's just playing a guitar... And singing a lovely guitar playing.
That's a troubadour.
Yeah,
a drifter.
He could be heading across states.
So, what about you? What level of drifter do you then trust? I don't trust mysterious drifters.
Millionaire drifter.
Okay. But millionaire drifter is for very good sense. Very good. Okay. I don't know if you get that. Isn't that?
Sure.
Like,
I don't know how often that happens.
That's where my bar is.
Okay.
That's how high my bar is.
A woman living opposite a bar called Ada Race takes in a millionaire drifter.
Yeah.
My point is, most drifters are mysterious.
Of course they are, yeah.
Mysteries, why? What,
they're
what,
of no fixed abode.
No, but that's why they're in the game.
Exactly. They want the mystery.
Yes.
They need the mystery.
That's it. They do it to be mysterious.
And sometimes they're running away from something.
He just takes in a drifter.
Yeah, definitely.
The mystery is built in.
It's built in.
You never get a drifter turning up with a van saying, like, electrician.
No, exactly.
His name and where he's from.
With a CV.
Yes.
And all his employment history.
CV. Yeah. Where do you live? I don't have a house. I'm a highly trained drifter. Yeah, but it doesn't say that, does it? It says a writer living on the outskirts of a town where there's been a string of abductions and murders takes in a highly trained drifter.
And yet in cowboy times, it wasn't that strange. Everyone arriving in a town was
moving town to town. It's even more local. That's why the saloon goes quiet, because everyone knows he's a drifter. Never forget, Gav, if we're talking about the Wild West, the Navajo word for stranger is the same as their word for enemy.
Right.
And I think that's all pervasive. I think, obviously, the easy thing to say there, it's the same in Newcastle.
Yeah.
But sure. Everywhere you go, that word stranger is always linked with danger, isn't
it? It is, yeah, yeah.
And definitely.
Yeah. Absolutely,
This is the trouble about being an island nation as well.
Mm.
I was watching Paul Theroux being interviewed on an Anthony Bourdain cookery show about Hawaii.
Yeah.
And he lived, this is Paul Theroux, is Louis Theroux's dad.
Yeah.
I think the greatest travel writer alive, because he's a genius.
Sure.
But he says that the trouble about living in islands like Hawaii is anyone living on an island always sees anyone arriving on that island as an enemy.
Right.
It's part of your island mentality.
Because it's an island, yeah.
Yeah, we should pat ourselves on the back in this country that we are multicultural and quite welcoming, because that is quite against the island mentality.
Yeah.
But Gav, I ask you again, what sort of drifter would you take in?
Oh, man.
I mean, a millionaire drifter there. I just want to know, Harry, what for you is an acceptable sort of friendly drifter, laughing drifter? No, that's even more.
That's even scarier,
yeah.
I mean, if he's really well dressed, it's even weirder.
Mm.
Yes.
Because why is he a well dressed drifter? You're really well tailored drifter.
With a bag of sweets.
A drifter with a bag of sweets.
No, that's terrifying. A member of the drifters.
Well, you're going against every child in this country. Yeah, what? This guy's a bang bang. What, a stranger with a bag of sweets? Sweets is what Harry was
with candy canes.
He's a father.
Radio X.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at some of your drifters. This was after I just spotted this film, and I just noticed the film's called Black Butterfly. I was watching Sky,
yeah,
and the film says, and in the blurb it says, a reclusive writer living on the outskirts of a town, haunted by a spate of mysterious abductions and murders, takes in a mysterious drifter.
Right. Hell of a premise.
I was just thinking, people I wouldn't welcome if I was in a town haunted by a mysterious spate of abductions and murders. I'm gonna break it to you guys. I'm on the lookout for mysterious drifters.
I'm especially wary of a potential drifter.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I wonder who's done it, because I mean, we've been living here with no strangers at all, and there's been nothing like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And suddenly, a mysterious drifter rolls up. Now, what I mean is, even by reading the blurb, I felt I'd solved it.
Definitely, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, thinking that's a short film. That's not going to last for...
No. It wouldn't tax Sherlock Holmes too hard.
No, it wouldn't.
No.
Let's think about this, Watson. Anyway, you just...
You could just send Watson on that one.
Yes. Yeah. No, you won't need Holmes for that.
No, just send Watson.
Just send Watson around his house.
Do it in a week.
Arrest him.
Yeah.
Arrest the mysterious drifter. anyway. I don't see any mysterious drifters.
That's your man right
maybe
there.
Maybe shoot on sight.
Yeah.
Right, get this, guys. Other drifters I wouldn't take in. A mustachioed drifter.
Right.
Would you take that in?
I'd be, pencil thin or bushy.
Oh, good point.
Very different.
I think either.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take in.
Yeah, you're right.
I wouldn't take it. I mean, I'm not taking any drifters, but if he was a mustachioed drifter, I wouldn't take him in. A drifter comes to your door and they go, hello.
In a dinner jacket and a pencil mustache.
No, even worse, he's quite scruffy, but he's sort of ridiculous.
I was just passing your
I couldn't
area.
Come in and just do my tash. Okay, how about a tap dancing drifter?
Oh, wow.
A drifter comes to your door, would you take them in?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm definitely watching them dance first before I decide.
Yeah.
I hope no listeners test you on this, since you know you're... Sorry, you're...
outside your door.
Just
looking through the peephole.
Okay, how about this? If you're there, okay?
Yeah.
I'm talking about what is an acceptable drifter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tough.
We've had loads of suggestions.
Okay, if you're at your door, you look through the thing and all you see is a ghetto blaster sitting there.
Right, yeah.
Big one.
Yeah.
And then you hear this. And there's a guy body popping. Who would you take in a body popping?
Is he a drifter or just a busker?
No, he's a drifter. He's a body popping drifter.
Is there a difference?
No, he's a body popping drifter, goes from town to town solving crime. But also...
A body popping detective?
Yes, the body popping detective. He solves crimes in the 80s, goes to towns. No one said turn off brake machine street dance. Spinning on their backs. You can see city kids. No, there's no break dancing. He just body pops. He solves crime.
So no cardboard on the floor.
Yeah, but it's like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
When he needs time to think, he plays the violin. The body popping detective. You just see him like...
He cranks up the 808.
Yeah, you see the body... He just... No, he wouldn't. There's no 808 in this, Gav.
Christ. Yeah, that's 808. You're hearing 808 on the drums there.
Well, let's have a listen.
That snare is an 808.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
You're giving away a brilliant idea for a TV show.
The body popping detective.
And he just comes out really sweaty and goes, I think I know who it is. And everyone goes, who is it? And he goes, hang on a second.
It's hype.
Wait a second. Let me harness the power of electric boogie. I'm going to tell you who it is. The mysterious drifter. Anyway, I think the body popping.
Oh,
I wouldn't take it. I wouldn't take it.
Underestimate him, just like Columbo, because you know you'd be looking at his sneakers.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be worried about what he knows.
Yeah, exactly right, Gav. Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah.
A juggler, juggling drifter.
No, I'm shutting the door straight away.
So I am as well.
But that's just because of the juggling, not the drifter thing.
If I was in America, in a small town America, I'd see exactly what happened. Letterbox open, two barrels come out.
The Henry rifle.
Get the hell off my porch, boy. I don't like no jugglers.
Almost everything's reduced at SCS right now, so don't miss out on up to half price savings. Get a new sofa from as little as £389, and everything's available with up to 3 years interest-free credit. Plus, every sofa comes with a lifetime frame guarantee. Don't miss out on spectacular savings on almost everything. Offers end soon. SCS. Helping create the home you love since 1894. Almost everything reduced ends 11th of March. Sofa delivery from £99. Minimum spend applies.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
We're going to have a top 10 for you now. It's time for TJ's top 10. Here we go. Top 10 places in the UK to find treasure.
What, TJ's Treasure Top 10 Tuesday?
Yeah, it's TJ's Treasure. It's TJ's Top 10. TJ's Tuesday. TJ's Treasure-related Top 10 Tuesday are.
Wow.
Yes. But it is. It's a TJ Top 10 treasure.
Right.
Test. Okay, so these locations have always been, are all where buried treasure hunters are most likely to strike it lucky.
Okay.
Right. That's a different show, I know.
Sure.
A record-breaking 1,378 discoveries were made in Britain. Do you know what the alarming thing is? It's about metal detectors have got so much better.
Yeah. Hmm. Now they're finding loads.
No, just separating ferrous stuff.
Right, from the other metals.
From other metals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People are really getting their ear in. You can hear that. I've tried it. Mm. I've never had a good enough ear for it.
Oh, so they sound different?
Yes, they do. Yeah, there's just a little bit of something. It sounds like probably a part of a tin of beans there, maybe. That's not. It's a metal, but I don't hear. Anyway,
shell casing.
It won't be gold or silver. They're not with a ping like that in the end. No. But also, if you see detectorists, what's amazing is it's a bit like with golf. You're trying to keep things square going literally because your body wants to take things in a circle.
Sure,
You've got to try and
keep it all straight.
Square the circles to go in a line through something.
Right, right.
And it's the same. So it is with metal detectorists. The way a good metal detectorist can keep the plate, the underside of the metal detector,
square to the ground.
Square to the ground while very quickly going back and forward. The way they just sort of move the wrist.
Right.
So it stays,
it's like a gimbal.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to keep you entertained for a while.
Sure.
But
sure.
For, say, 20 seconds,
right. It's interesting.
When someone points it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Less than that, maybe for 10 seconds. Then you have a go yourself.
And you realise how hard it is.
Maybe half a minute.
Right, right. Wow.
God, I tell you something. Tomorrow on the show, I wanted to discuss things you can get repetitive strain injury from very, very quickly.
Okay.
This is after Big Si. I won't spoil it for tomorrow, but that is one I got repetitive strain injury from. Literally, I must have been doing it for half a minute.
Wow.
And my wrist, God, man. Anyway, it's not lifting, is it?
No.
It's subtle.
Sure.
Okay, let's go to our locations where treasure has been found.
Spin the coin, go on.
Heads or tails, Suntz?
Tails, please.
It is tails, actually, my love. Do you want to go first or second?
I'll go first, please.
You can go first, my love. Here we go, pet. So we're going to start with your home county of Suffolk.
Yay!
Okay, but do you think we find more or less in Lincolnshire? Lincoln, of course, a massive site of Roman activity, one of four colonii in Britain.
Suffolk
Lincoln, of
too,
course.
Though. There's lots of Roman activity.
I don't think it was. I don't.
Saxon stuff in Suffolk.
Is it? Right.
Not going to be that valuable, though, is it? Right. Think about it. Who had more money?
Mm.
Anyway, wherever the Romans have been is obviously they were here. People don't realise they were here for a fifth of time AD in Britain.
Yeah.
Not far from Colchester.
Arrived 55 BC, left 410.
Probably overthinking this.
Made a lot of coins.
I'm going to go lower.
It is low. Well done.
It's a long way to get there.
Yeah, it's low. You're absolutely right. Okay, we're with Lincolnshire. But do you think Wiltshire, Glastonbury?
Ooh.
Higher or lower than Lincolnshire? You're Glastonbury there, the tour.
Somerset.
Sorry, it's in Wiltshire, isn't it? Is it Somerset?
Mm.
It's near Wiltshire, though, isn't it? I'm thinking of sort of Stonehenge, aren't I?
You are.
And ley lines.
It's. Let's say higher.
What, you think Wiltshire's higher?
Yeah, I'm going to go higher.
It is, yeah. Okay. We're in Wiltshire.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason.
What?
What?
For some reason, the only place on the list that isn't county is Swindon.
Why has that happened?
That's strangely specific.
I don't know. But anyway, we're in Wiltshire. Do we think Swindon is higher or lower in our chart?
Wow. That's a curveball. I feel like it needs to be higher because why else would it be on the list?
Okay, it's lower.
Oh, no.
So why is it on the list?
I don't know. Gav,
go
we're
on.
In Swindon, but do you think Kent is higher or lower than Swindon?
I'm going to go Kent's higher.
Kent is higher, yeah. Presumably they had a huge find just on the outskirts of Swindon.
Right.
Like a villa.
And it had to be within that
something Saxon
council
or,
area.
I'll find out what it is. Yeah. It's not like Sutton Hoo or something exciting like that, but it'll be something exciting. Right, we're in Kent.
Yeah.
But do we think Essex?
Ooh.
To Kent, just to the south of Essex there. Mm. You know, they both provided, obviously, as I maintain, as I always tell you, there is no archaeological evidence ever for a battle taking place anywhere near Battle, Hastings, or anywhere in that area. There is nothing. There is nothing.
So, but Essex, I'm going to go...
Essex higher or lower than Kent? The East Saxons, of course.
I'm guessing, even if there isn't as much treasure in Essex, I'm guessing there are more detectorists in Essex. So I'm going to say more. Essex
less,
higher.
Less higher. We're in Essex, Sunter, North Yorkshire. Higher or lower than Essex?
Higher.
It is higher. Well done, my love.
Thanks, pet.
Well done, my sweet. We're in North Yorkshire. Do you think Shropshire higher or lower? Harris County? Harry, what would you advise Sunter about here?
I would only say all of the treasure is in Shropshire.
Higher.
Fiercely local.
Yeah.
Harry.
He's so fiercely loyal. Local. Blindly Shropshire. Salopian.
Everything.
Salopian.
Rocket
I'm salop till I die. Yeah, salop till I die. Right, what you got?
Higher.
It is lower.
It sold you a dummy.
Yeah, okay.
Go
so on. We're coming to the end now.
We're in Shropshire. Go on.
We're in Shropshire. Do you think Hampshire higher or lower than Shropshire?
Hampshire's higher.
It is higher. And finally, Norfolk. Higher than lower than Hampshire. This is to take it.
Norfolk. Ooh, I'm going to go higher.
It is higher. Top of the shop. Gav closes it out. A classic victory.
Radio X.
We're on the hunt for the world's greatest nickname. Let's hit it. So far, we've discovered my favourite. It was the one that really started the ball rolling. Spider. Guy called Spider once... out shopping as a student 20 years ago with his fellow students, he bought four pairs of jeans with his grandma.
Just can't believe
it. It's unbelievable. You can't.
It's such a good nickname.
It's too good. Bradley had an asthma attack, is forever known as Brad the Inhaler. And Jason, because he repeats himself continuously, he's called Groundhog Jay. keep coming. 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation.
Otherwise, it's just a name.
Great work, Tempers. Talking of tempers, what have you got there?
Andrew in Kendall says there was a bloke at our running club we nicknamed Panther. Not because he was sleek and athletic, just a heavy breather.
Nice. Nice. Panther. Come on, Panther.
He probably really likes it.
Yeah, no, probably doesn't. It depends. Yeah. He probably likes it until people... You probably go...
It's because I'm really fast. You know?
Yeah, just powerful. I've got powerful jaws.
I come from nowhere. Yeah, yeah. No, it wouldn't be because you've got powerful jaws.
Panthers have got powerful jaws.
They've
got a strong bite.
Because I want to pounce. You know, I've got power. I'm very springy and all that. It's not because I've got powerful jaws.
Well, you don't know.
No, it's because you... no one likes it. Why do they call you Panthers? Because I've got very powerful jaws.
Very powerful
like
bite.
Jamie Carragher.
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely got powerful
he's got,
jaws.
Well, I don't know if they're powerful, but you certainly know. If he's got to be glad Samson's not around. Because he'd go for that jawbone over one of an ass any day to start slaying Philistines.
Oh,
what have you got, Kev?
Claire in Stobridge says, we call our technology teacher Dial-Up because he was super slow at everything.
Right. Nice. let's get this from George in Wigan. I work for a large manufacturing company. I love it when people do that. Do you know why I like that?
Why?
It just really lets you know you're doing national radio.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
You know, because if we're doing local radio, you go, I work at Plasplugs in
town.
Yeah,
they tell you the name. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've worked at Plasplugs 20 years. They just...
Yeah, just it's
or
quicker.
Whatever, or a company like that.
Yeah, you know, they, I mean,
Plasplugs.
No, but they give you exactly the name. And we go, oh, I know, because our dad worked there for 30 years. I work for a large manufacturing company. The production manager regularly comes upstairs and says, we've got a problem. He is known as Houston. Thank you very much. Keep coming in, 839V6 or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation.
Otherwise, it's just a name.
X. My favourite coffee is a strong coffee. Strong enough to grab me by the collar, give my taste buds a talking to, then bang a wakey-wakey gong in the centre of my head. The Costa Americano. Oh, that's the stuff. It's not just strong enough to make me a morning person, it's strong enough to throw me over its shoulder and carry me through my day.
From flat whites to Americanos, cappuccinos to lattes, you'll find your favourite coffee at Costa. Costa Coffee.
Radio.
X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Oh, man. Stereophonic, c'est la vie, which is a really good way to face adversity. If you face it with that attitude, that c'est la vie thing, no matter what's going on, if you can face it with c'est la vie,
yeah.
Boy, you've really got this life whooped. If you c'est la vie and a glass of scotch. as you hear the sound, oh, well, c'est la vie. And then the slamming down of an empty glass.
Ladies, a heavy cut glass tumbler.
Yeah. Another way you can face adversity, Kev, is bullshito. Just lie.
Sure.
Just lie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, I didn't get that email. No, I tell you what happens. Sometimes it goes straight to my junk. I don't know why.
That's right, yeah.
Which actually, I've got to say, is increasingly worrying me. Because
some of it does go to
the junk.
No, but
emails that I've accepted before, and then I go into my junk just to try and find one.
And there's more of those, yeah.
From, say, a discount jacket house.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a load in there from, like, people that are relevant. And I'm like, I haven't done that. And I...
Weird.
No, but I mean, that's not bullshito.
No.
You're looking at me like, yeah, sure. We've all got that friend or colleague takes lying to the next level. They are masters of the ancient art of bullshito. Great gonging. King Gong. Kim Gong Un. We've had examples like the woman who said her doctor prescribed her McDonald's milkshake in order to get more calcium.
Beautiful.
It's not true, it's made of potato.
Mm-hmm.
Simo from Sheffield, who reckoned his granddad invented Super Nintendo. look, if you look there, after each one, Harry, it says Gong, SFX.
Oh, that's okay.
That's Gong. So I'm just saying, you were, a second ago, you were Kim Gong, and that literally within one item.
And he's the Gongan.
He's the Gongan. he's a total Gongan. he's Clapping! So someone is a little less clapping him because that was fast.
Ah, yeah. Thank you.
No,
thank
Gav,
you. Thank you.
Don't do that face because that looked like you just done something surprising in University Challenge.
Hey, thank you.
You know, they look around and go, I don't know how I know. Just good. I learned it years ago because my granddad was really into flying. He was a chemist. Darren said, "You Sexy Thing by Hot Chocolate" was written about his nan.
It's one of my favourites.
So good.
Send your bullshito stories to 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Let's see what's going on in the Dojo of Deceit this week. Dr. S, what's Gemma in London got for you?
Gemma says, I went to school with someone who insisted the character of Pat Butcher was based on his mum.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, my God. What a boast.
What a who would boast such a thing? Yeah, that was based on my old mum, that.
Yeah. No word of a
mind you, she's a sort of like cocky stereotype.
Yeah.
Ched, what have you got from Ched in Whitwell there, Gav? He's quite a regular.
This is a self-reporting bullshito, which is a first. So Ched says, when my kids asked why I had a hairy back, I told them that I used to be a bear, but I'd grown out of my fur. This is also the reason I don't like salmon, as I ate too much of it as a cub.
That's fantastic.
I also photoshopped some bear cub photos as proof. My oldest is 14 now, but I'm sticking to my guns on this one, says Ched.
Do you know what, once, years ago...
That's a great bullshit.
Was it on this show or another radio show I did where we're just talking about lies you've told your kids?
Oh, yeah.
And this dad said that he was sitting there with his children and he just was feeling quite unimpressive. And it was just his kids were young and he told his son he was Superman.
He said,
I don't know why I did it.
Yeah.
I just said, Spider-Man. He goes, I'm actually Spider-Man.
It's me, yeah.
There you go, now you know.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic.
And his son was like, really? And he suddenly realised he'd really crossed the line and this could really change his whole thing. And he really lost sleep over it. I got him on the phone to like talk to this guy about, he said, well, it was just awful because my son looked at me completely differently.
You told your son the lollipop lady could fit the lollipop in her mouth.
The lollipop man.
Oh, was he a man?
Quite
yeah.
A thin
and your kids kept staring at him, hoping for him to do it.
I said, if we get there early, it's to get him to school in the morning. If we get there early, he'll have his gob, no doubt about it. He can do it. He's really a tiny little thin bloke. Looked like he was a big drinker. And I said, you missed it!
He just did it. Yeah.
No, but I got other dads to say, oh, you should have been here earlier.
Amazing.
Whole thing in his mouth.
Whole thing in there, yeah. a tennis racket.
No, it's bigger than that, Gary. It's a lollipop, man. Right. This is Ryan. I like it when they're ex-military, those guys.
Sure. Yeah.
Ryan in Sunderland. A guy that we grew up with was a renowned storyteller, a fourth Dan black belt in Bushido. Whilst fishing in the River Weir in Sunderland, he pulled out a fruit machine.
What?
From the river.
Yeah? From a river. Okay.
Get this. He said he got it home in his bike, powered it up, put in 20p, pressed the button, won the jackpot.
Amazing.
Of course he did.
Of course he did. While fishing, he caught a fruit machine.
He just picked it up, John. He just carried it out of the river without a forklift.
He took it home on his bike.
Yeah, right.
Send your Bullshido stories, please. 83936 or tweet at Radio X.
Radio X.
Gav and I just had the most interesting discussion maybe ever. Oh. I know it's a little bit early for our dinner party chit-chat strand, but I'm going to put this now because not much time.
Sure, yeah.
We've talked too much to do a proper item here, but here is a great bit of dinner party chit-chat for you. So the woodman and I have declared this the dinner party season. It's starting.
It is.
There's nothing you can do about that.
No.
You're always looking for things to chat about. Here's how you can talk about. Sometimes when you go out for dinner with your partner, your long-term partner, it's weird. That's why I never sit opposite my partner ever.
Right.
When we go out for dinner. Because you sit opposite someone, suddenly you might as well be on a prison visit.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
Suddenly someone you've lived with for years, it's like, it's like weird conversations. Like I said, tell you you've obviously had a few drinks, but it's like weird. Yeah. That's why so many couples sit in silence. And they make out like, you know, when you know someone as well as I do, you can just sit in silence. You know, we don't need to talk, which is so lazy.
Yeah.
But here's a good discussion. Mm. Always sit at right angles. Sit at that right angle. That's a nice thing to do.
Yes.
Or if you're outside, you know, sit there side by side so you can slag people off as they're walking past.
Yeah, watch the world,
watch the world go by.
Yeah.
But here's a great conversation for you. If you did have a mini bar in your bedroom, like a hotel, what are the selection
of
beverages and snacks you're going for? Now, this goes beyond our three C's, can, confectionery, crisps. Your standard, your last rest stop before the big journey.
That's right.
Petrol station. Sure. But, God, I'm loving that. What lager I go for? If I had to go for that light ale they've always got in there as well.
Which mixers may you want?
Which might mixers you want? Yes. Coca-Cola or Pepsi.
Yeah.
Which Fanta you're going to go with. But what's in that minibar, you know?
Your own personal minibar.
Yeah.
Where the drinks aren't £20 each.
Yeah, no, they're not. They're free. Because you've already bought them. So for your whiskey, you've got to go for a miniature. I'm putting Jack Daniels in there as a staple.
It's very reliable.
I'm going along the spirits first.
Sure. Well, you need a rum. You need a rum, surely.
They never have rum in there.
They don't, do they?
They never have rum.
They have vodka. They have whiskey.
Let's go to Sunt. I know she's going to have opinions on this. Sunt, we've got Jack Daniels in there. That's safe. It's yours to take home.
What are you putting next to it, Sunt?
What are you sticking next to that, Sunt? What gin are you going for? You've got to have a whiskey, gin, and a vodka.
There you go.
I'm going to go. I don't know. I'm not that fussy with gin. I just quite like a pre-mixed tin.
It's in there. If your gin,
the tall small tin,
your gin's in. If it's gin, it's in.
You're reaching, you're cracking open, you're done.
Yeah, okay. You're going down to the can shelf.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got to work this out. We've got to format it. We've got to decide because there's going to be a max capacity.
Yeah, you can only have a certain few items.
We need to talk snacks as well.
We do.
That's in the drawer. You're moving up to the drawer there. Unless, of course, you put your Toblerone and the Kit Kat, which always tastes strangely dry.
The only thing you're going to need to bring to the party is literally just some ice. That's all you're going to need
to bring to the party. You're looking for a bottle of white in there and or a sparkling wine.
Sure. A decent drinkable claret, maybe?
No, but that's, again, Gav, you're going outside the minibar, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're now on the shelf with the snacks.
That's true.
For Christ's sake, Would you and Sunta please just keep it in the minibar we've now bought?
Can I have olives in my minibar?
Of course. Again, you...
No, the
yes,
olives are
a tin
in
of
the
olives, a tin of olives, you can have a tin of olives, but this is not the way I want you to go with this.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I've got my Coca-Cola, no Diet Coke, in there next door to that. I'm having Sprite.
Mm. Yes.
Right the next morning.
Sure. Absolutely. Still water for me has got to be in there too.
Lagers. Do you know what? Of the standard ranges, I'm going two Moretti's.
I'm going Peroni's.
Okay, Peroni's fine. Gives me indigestion, but that's fine.
That's
acceptable.
Sure.
But what we're doing now, Gav, we're building it, aren't we?
We are building.
We're building.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Now you get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every single Friday. If you'd like to get in touch, just email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Thank you. Radio X.